I always encourage folk to have the Bible reading open if they feel that would be, well, I think it would be helpful, but again, no pressure obligation, but by looking at the Bible, it just helps us grow in familiarity with it. It can seem such a mystery, can't it? Where are these books? One book we probably do know where it is the book of Genesis, because most people know it's at the beginning. And a lot of people then know that the book of Revelation is the end. But what comes in between? But we are looking at Genesis this morning, and we have a few verses there to reflect on. And if you'd like to have it open, just so you get familiar with where these verses are. And this morning we are resuming our series on unlikely heroes of the Bible. And we're looking today at Sarah. And we learn about Sarah from the book of Genesis, right at the beginning. Genesis 21, verse 6, Sarah says, "God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me." And towards the end of the Bible, not quite right at the end, the writer of the letter of Hebrews, when he's reflecting on heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, honours Sarah alongside her husband Abraham as someone of great faith. It is the writer of Hebrews who says at the beginning of chapter 11, "Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." That is a great verse to learn. What is faith? Faith is being sure of what we hope for, sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see. One of the main things that you and I can learn from such people as Sarah, and we can benefit from that in our reflection today, is to persevere in a life of faith. You will have said me say it time and time and time again. This side of heaven, you and I are works in progress every single day. It's like having a label written on your forehead, work in progress. That's you and me, this side of heaven, every day. We can persevere in our life of faith. So, who was Sarah? The Sarah that we find out all about in the book of Genesis. Sarah's original name was Sarai, S-A-R-A-I. And she's an absolutely central person in the Bible. And her life events are, of course, closely connected to those of her husband Abraham. And again, many people, even if they don't know about the life of Abraham, will have heard of Abraham, a significant figure in Holy Scripture. And the strands of God's grace in the life of Abraham run all the way through the Bible, from beginning to end. Sarah was known as a woman of great beauty and also faith in God. But life for Sarah had its challenges, like it does for everybody. And one of the greatest challenges for Sarah was her infertility, which in her position amongst her people and as wife to Abraham and within her culture was even more difficult. But remarkably, God made Sarah an extraordinary promise that even in her old age, she would become a mother. When Sarah first heard this, not unnaturally, she laughed in disbelief. She believed it to be impossible. And that is a bit earlier on than our reading today. As the years have gone by, Sarah had been eager to provide Abraham with an heir. Abraham was a leader of his people. And so she made the difficult decision, and very culturally different from our culture, she made the difficult decision to offer her servant Hagar to have a child with Abraham so that he would have an heir. And so Ishmael was born. Again, you can read all of this narrative in Genesis. I encourage you to find some time to read it through. It is a riveting read, I can tell you, the book of Genesis. But God had not forgotten his promise to Sarah. And against every human expectation, at the age of 90, she finally gave birth to a son, Isaac. I wonder whether for you, I guess probably for all of us, it's true, in that sometimes we feel God has said something to us or calling us in a certain way or wants our life to go in a certain direction, and then it just doesn't happen. And the months go by, and the years go by, and we wonder, was that just my imagination? Was it just me? Was that a vain, desperate hope rather than something we were convicted came of God? Sarah must have felt like that. And yet God remembered his promise. Isaac was born. Abraham is known as the father of nations. And his descendants were God's chosen people, from whom would come a savior, and through whom the whole world would know about God's grace, redemption, and love. Jesus. So, Sarah was to be the mother of nations and of kings, and have this vital role in the forming of God's people, hence being a substantial person of Holy Scripture, of the Bible. Sarah lived to a very, very old age. The Bible says 127 years. I don't know whether this is literal or whether this is a representation of old age. Who knows? But she was very old. And Sarah's life is a testimony, a witness to, as I said earlier, persevering in a life of faith and showing that in God's good time, God does fulfill his promises, even when those promises may sound to you and me to be impossible. That's the divine human gap between you and me and God. He's God. We're human. Abraham and Sarah lived a nomadic life, that's a life of wandering. Their people were wanderers and they traveled all the time. That would have been a really tough life. And Sarah's faithfulness and her obedience to God and her companionship to Abraham would have helped sustain and support Abraham through all the challenges that his people faced. And even though the birth of Isaac was, according to the Bible, a miraculous event which showed God's faithfulness, we can all understand why, at first, Sarah laughed when God told her that she was to have a son in her old age. I guess we're all pretty alike. I mentioned earlier our initial skepticism, probably, in our worldly humanity at what might seem impossible. How was Jesus born? Born by God's divine intervention to a virgin named Mary. Nothing is impossible with God. We read in Genesis chapter 18, verse 12, that Sarah's laughter then was laughter of unbelief, that such a thing could really happen. Chapter 18, verse 12. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, now will I now have this pleasure?" She laughed in unbelief. But she rebounded from her initial lack of faith to embrace and accept the words of God to Abraham that she would have a son. Holding on to faith in difficulties, and when we think something must be absolutely impossible, is just so, so challenging. Because actually, we all like to know, don't we? Again, increasingly as the world seems to be more instant information led, we feel it's our right to know everything about everyone all the time now. So this sense of us wanting to control the world, and if someone doesn't give us an email answer within 30 seconds of us sending it, we get cross. It's easy to understand, isn't it? We like to know, but we can't necessarily always know. We can't necessarily always be in control. And to let go of this and also have the faithfulness to wait on God can be really difficult. How do you think someone like William Wilberforce hung on to his lifetime's belief that slavery would eventually be abolished? He hung on to it through faith in God's purposes, year after year after year, despite all the setbacks, despite all the brickbats and the insults and everything else he faced. Or indeed, how did his colleague in the fight, Olaudu Equiano, the black slave who had bought his freedom and he learnt to read and write and then became a pioneer in the movement to abolish slavery, how did he hang on through all those years? He also hung on with faith in God's goodness and his purposes all his life. Equiano wrote a remarkable biography. And in it he said, "I early accustomed myself to look for the hand of God in the minutest, the smallest occurrence. And in this light, every circumstance I have related was to me of importance. After all, what makes any event important unless by its observation we become better and wiser and learn to do justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly before our God?" He hung on to his faith in God, and he looked for the grace of God in the smallest moment of every single day. How do you think Martin Luther King persevered through prejudice, racism, and abuse for what he believed, ultimately paying the greatest sacrifice? Well, it was through faith in God's goodness and purposes. And there are many, many other examples of such faithful people in their journeys of life amidst great difficulties. Theologically, Sarah's life and experience remind us that faith is often, or rather usually, a journey. We are on a journey. It's not simply a leap in a moment. It can be for some. And some of you here may well have had that instant leap of experience and encounter with God. But not always. For many, it is a long journey. And it continues, even though we have an initial revelation of God's grace, to be a journey of drawing closer to Him. Sarah's early doubts did not mean that she was then disqualified from her part in God's plan. She didn't not measure up to God's plan because she laughed in unbelief at the beginning. It also, of course, didn't mean that God had to change his plans either because she didn't believe him. As he does with us, and as he can with you, God met Sarah in her weakness and in her vulnerability. And he led her to a place of confident faith and trust, just as he can with you and me. This is the grace of God at work. And Sarah can be seen as an unlikely hero of faith, not because she never had any doubts or struggles, but because in the end, Sarah accepted and embraced the grace of God and depended on it. God does not abandon you or me in moments of doubt, but he can graciously lead us onto and into a place of conviction and trust. So bring your doubts, your laughter of unbelief, your struggles along the way to Jesus. As we finish this morning, I'm going to ask you a question. How does your faith feel today? And I would expect in a congregation of people, in a parish church in this country, there to be every single feeling along that spectrum. One from those who might be seeking faith for the first time and unsure about it, to those who've been Christians for many, many years and everything in between. So I ask you, as I ask myself this morning, how does your faith in God feel today? Think about that for a moment. And then remember the words of Jesus as recorded by Matthew. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Persevere over the long term like Sarah. And then, like Sarah, when God's promise came true, you also will be able to say, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. Amen.